Of course, Lena isn't alone. For many of us, the demands of our jobs are so consuming that it's sometimes easy to lose sight of what makes life worthwhile. But it's worthwhile to remember what's worthwhile. And like Lena, we may need to remind ourselves of this consistently before we end up investing our whole identity and purpose for living in our role at work. Some might consider tenured college professors or U.S. Supreme Court justices to be nature's final word in job security. But compared to the Dalai Lama, these individuals are hanging on to their jobs by a thread. Not only is he assured of his position as Dalai Lama throughout his lifetime, but he is guaranteed the same job in numberless future lifetimes as well. Now that's job security. Yet despite his celebrated and highly conspicuous role as a world spiritual figure, leader of the Tibetan people, or Nobel Peace Prize laureate, I knew from many past conversations that he identifies most strongly with his role as a simple Buddhist monk. Based on years of observation, I've come to the conclusion that he is a genuinely humble man, one who has somehow managed to avoid getting caught up in the outer trappings of his title or designation as the Dalai Lama, one who truly sees himself as just an ordinary monk. Since it seemed that his personal identity was tied to his role as a monk, at least to some degree, and since we had been discussing issues related to job loss and to work and identity, a question occurred to me. I wondered how he might react if somehow he suddenly had to give up his job as a monk. Of course, this was a purely theoretical question. In reality, it was virtually impossible to imagine. But by now, I was accustomed to the occasional bit of good-natured needling about my impossible or silly questions, so I was not deterred from inquiring. You know, in the past we've spoken about personal identity. You've mentioned that there can be many levels to an individual's self-identity. But in your case, out of all your various roles, you seem to relate most strongly to your role as a monk. In a sense, that role seems to be more fundamental to your identity than your designation as the Dalai Lama. For example, you once told me that even in your dreams you see yourself as a monk. He nodded.
That's right.
Just for the sake of argument, then, can you imagine a situation where you lost your job as a monk? In other words, let's say that you could still do your daily meditation and spiritual practices and lead a life of simplicity and so on, but you couldn't wear your robes or engage in any rituals as a monk, and you couldn't be part of the monastic community. And let's say that you had to earn your living doing something else to support yourself. Can you imagine how you might adapt to those kinds of circumstances? What type of work you would want to do? Knowing the unlikelihood of the Dalai Lama hitting the pavement to seek new work, I braced myself for a bit of gentle ribbing about my tendency to ask irrelevant, impossible, or silly questions. But to my surprise, he seemed to take the question very seriously. In fact, the expression on his face was uncharacteristically grave. Well, almost grave. As he nodded thoughtfully and replied,
Yes. Now, just recently, in fact, I was reading a Tibetan text by a great Buddhist master who lived in the late 19th and early 20th century. And in this text, he was giving advice to his students. He told them that it is important for them to understand what is the true essence of spirituality. He advised them that, recognizing the true essence of Buddhist practice, they should not get caught up in the external forms of practice like reciting mantras, making circumambulations, making prostrations, and so on. Of course, these are aspects of Buddhist spiritual practice, but they are not the core. The core of Buddhist practice really is to bring about inner transformation through spiritual training on the mind. And I think one can still practice the essence, the core, even without the external forms.